shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR. That's 4.80 megahertz. WBCQ, 7.415 megahertz. And you can go to our website, kingidentity.com, and go to our radio page, and you'll see a live feed over the internet for MP3 players, Windows Media, and some others. That's direct from our studio, and also WWCR and WBCQ have a feed from those stations. We always appreciate your reception reports, both over shortwave and over the internet. If you'd like to participate in tonight's program, you can call toll-free 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. I'll repeat that again. 877-924-7722. I have a special guest tonight that's been in the faith for many years. He's been involved in a lot. He's been a pastor. He's been an activist. He's been in jail. He's been in prison. And I guess like the country song says, he's lived a lot in his time. You've heard him on our broadcasts a number of times over the years, including 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. He did Adam Was Not the First Human Being on July 18th. We've had others, including one on repentance, which I believe is the best sermon I've ever heard on that topic, 92709, if you want to go to our archives page and listen to that. And we also have it and other broadcasts on tape and CD. Like myself, he used to be one of the youngest adults at many of the meetings around, and today he's one of the few that have remained faithful, one of the eldership, you might say, that has not departed from the faith and gone out on some tangent like so many have, and heresy and corruption of various types, unethical behavior. So I'd like to welcome to our broadcast tonight Pastor Buddy Tucker from Tennessee. Welcome, Buddy.
Thank you, Mike. If I went out on a tangent, it would probably be just claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has taken care of us for a long time. I'm 65 now, and I've seen a lot happen, not only in my life, but also in this nation. I have a real good friend that lives in Murfreesboro, and he was asking me about this presidential election that we had in 2008, and you know what's really going on. And I told him that it didn't make any difference who was elected, because the ultimate end has already been predetermined, because it's all built upon man and what man's doing. And anytime you build something on man and his abilities, it's going to fall down. The only thing that's eternal is what is built upon the rock, and it'll stand. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And throughout my adventure in life, from the time I was 22 years old, I was a student at the University of Tennessee, and I was taking industrial management, which is the business end of engineering. And I felt led that I wanted to try and do something to help people and to help our city and our country. And so I left the University of Tennessee and went to Carson Newman College in Jefferson City to study for the ministry. And after I'd been there about a year, I had made straight A's in all the subjects and taken Greek and Hebrew and some other things. During my stay there at Carson Newman, I was married at the time and had two children, so I was older than most of the students there. And there was two other men that were students there also that were married and had families. And we were sitting in our house in a den, just the three of us, and we were talking, and it was just as if somebody had entered the room. And we all looked at each other, and physically, there wasn't anybody that came in. But it was just something that the three of us just knew. Somebody just walked in. And it was the Holy Ghost. And from that point on, God began to reveal things to me that were troubling. I'd been raised in a Southern Baptist church, and I had grown up believing that I knew what the Bible said and believing that I knew the Savior and believing I knew a lot of things that Christianity is supposedly based upon. But after that encounter that changed my life, the scriptures began to open to me.
And so many people don't want to go beyond a certain point. They want to stay at that elementary level they were in grammar school, and are afraid if they don't stagnate there, if they go on, that they'll be politically incorrect and not be accepted by their peers and pastors the same way. He's afraid to be politically incorrect.
Well, that was the first problem I encountered, was some of the teachers at Carson Newman were only a few years older than I was. And I began to read the Bible, not books about the Bible. Not what men had said about the books of the Bible or about the verses, but I actually began to read the Bible. And in one of my courses, which was covering the Old Testament, the professor I had made a few statements, and I'm in class, and I asked him, I said, well, what did God mean over there when he told the Israelites, when they went into the land of Cana, to kill them all? The babies, the old, the young, the men, the women, the livestock. Kill them all. Clean house.
Yeah, show no mercy.
And he said, oh, no, no, no. That's that Old Testament God. And I believe in a New Testament God, which is a God of love. Well, he got real defensive over it, and all of a sudden, within a week or two, who professed to be my friend became my enemy. And the Word of God has a way of separating, and you can't be cafeteria style with it. In other words, if you're going to believe it, believe it, and if you're not, why waste your time with it? And what has become Christianity today is nothing more than a conscience-soothing social club. It's a place for old people to go so that somebody will come to their funeral when they die.
Yeah, I like to some people go to bars for entertainment and some people go to church for entertainment.
Right. It's a social organization. And if But as far as it having the truth and the Word of God there, no. The churches, all of them, and I don't care what flavor it is, whether it's Catholicism, Protestantism, Mormonism, it don't matter. They're all identical, and they teach lies. That's all they teach is lies. They don't teach truth. There's no truth in them. They're the group that's going to come to Christ and say, oh, but we did all these things in your name. And he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And that's what they are, because they will not teach what the Bible principles lay down. And that law of God has not been done away with. Christ didn't say he came to do away with the law. He said he came to fulfill prophecy. And that not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all prophecies fulfill. And we're still in a prophetic age. All prophecy hadn't been fulfilled yet.
The very definition of sin is transgression of the law.
Right. 1 John 3:4 tells you that. And that's the only thing that is sin. If it doesn't transgress God's law, it's not sin. Whether you like it or not, it's not sin. And if God says, don't do this, and you do it, that's sin. And because of our sinful nature that Paul discusses in Romans 6, 7, and 8, because we're in this earthly body and subject to all of the naturalness of it, there is a warfare going on that he speaks about. And that warfare is between our spirit and our flesh body. It's almost like, compare it to driving a car. People think the car makes them, so they want to go out and get the flashiest car there is, but yet they're the driver. That's the spirit that makes that car go where it will, but at the same time, that spirit is subject to the limitations of that vehicle. And that's the conflict that goes on in us. And it's a conflict between flesh and spirit. So our flesh, as it deteriorates, or we get sick, or we have all kinds of anguishes and problems, cancers and everything else, all the diseases and those things want to overpower our spirit rather than the other way around. Our spirit needs to subjugate this flesh, and our spirit is what we come in this life with. It's that godliness of our race, of our heritage, because God's our father when we come in here. The devil isn't our father, and all of a sudden we decide one day we're going to accept Jesus Christ, and God becomes our father then and there, and up until then, Satan was our father? Well, that's idiocy. Nowhere in the Bible does it teach any precept like that. As a matter of fact, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke, the boy left his father, went out and wasted his substance trying to live in the world, woke up one day, mentally woke up, and he was eating food the hogs wouldn't even eat. It's what they left, and he's in a hog pen. And he wakes up and says, I don't have to live this way. And he says, I can go back home to Dad and tell Dad I'm not worthy to be his son, but at least let me be like one of the hired servants. That boy returned to the same father he left, but only after he ran the course that he ran and wound up where he wound up. So what's going on in America today? Nothing more than we're just wasting everything and going to the hog pen.
Yeah, and the preachers are part of that. The preachers teach that the law was done away with. The preachers substitute their own laws for Yahweh's laws.
Yeah, the preachers are taking, they're the group that's our friends in the riotous living. And when I mean riotous living, it's all the stuff that they got us doing that is contrary to the Word of God. All they do is come and join their group, and then you're better than everybody else, and you're going to get to float around in heaven for eternity and drink milk and eat honeycomb and play harps and do whatever, some sort of pie in the sky. But yet every day we are to pray a prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. And it's a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily needs. And one of those daily needs is deliver us from evil. And that isn't just deliver us from the evil that's out from us that wants to destroy us, but deliver us from that evil nature that we have that's in warfare against our spirit. There's only one group of people on this earth. Only one group of people that history's ever recorded anything about that cares about any other race of people. And that's the Adamic race. Those who are the ruddy complected, the fair ones, the Bible. In the very beginning, in Genesis 2, talks about the Adam. He wasn't the first two-legged critter on earth. As a matter of fact, we read in Genesis, the very first chapter, where it says, Gods, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That's plural. And I know the church wants to pervert that and say, oh, well, it's talking about the Godhead. There's nothing in my Bible that says anything about a Godhead. It's God. And then it is the Elohim. And that's what's being talked about in Genesis 1:26. It's the Elohim. And God said. That Hebrew word there that's translated God is the Hebrew word Elohim. And it's the same word used in Psalms 82:6 when it says, you are gods, but you're going to die like men. And it's the same reference that Jesus uses in John 10:34, where he quotes Psalms 82:6. Who are the gods? We are the Elohim, and we were building something. It's like the son, go build me a house and make it just perfect, okay? Just don't spare any expense. Go build the grandest thing that ever was. And so the boy goes and does it, and he comes back, and he says, Dad, I got her all done. And his father said, did you do a good job? Dad, it's A number one. It is perfect. He said, everything's just like it ought to be, right? Yeah. Well, son, I'm going to give it to you. You go live in it. You've made this wonderful creation. You go live in it. That's what Genesis is all about. We made with the Father. Divine authority, we began to construct something, and that's in Genesis 1. As a matter of fact, it goes on in Genesis 1 talking about that we made a male and female. And in Genesis 1:28, what does it say? It says that we blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. This wasn't the first creation. You can't replenish something that has never been replenished. And so here we've got this creation. Then in Genesis 2, Daddy says, okay, now go live in it. And that's all it is. So how did we come in here? We came in here in a flesh body.
We were to take dominion and administer under his laws.
Back
to the prayer you gave earlier, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. And so we came in a flesh body. We were different from the other two-legged beings here. And that's why they called us Adam. And the Hebrew word there is Adam, Adam. And that's how it's translated. Actually, it's a transliteration. They just use the Hebrew word, Adam. And the word actually means rosy-complected, able to show blood in the face. This was that light bunch. And people that are so ignorant, they say, oh, no, Adam was the first human on earth. Well, if that's true, and that's what your church teaches, then they teach evolution. Because if Adam was the first of anything that represents humanity, then all these other races and nations evolved from it. So your church is outright just teaching evolution. Where did all the other races come from? Well, they couldn't have come from Eve because Eve was genetically identical to Adam.
Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh.
Right, she was taken from him. I mean, that's these scientists that are trying to clone today couldn't do anything any better than that. Okay,
and everybody dates Adam 6,000 to 8,000 years ago, roughly 4,000 to 6,000 BC. And there wouldn't even be enough time for their own theory of evolution if it were true to evolve the different races.
Right. So they gotta make a fairy tale out of the Bible so then they can destroy the fairy tale. It's like when you're a little kid and they want to teach you about Santa Claus. Well, Santa Claus is a fairy tale. It's not true. Well, when you get older, everybody just winks an eye at it, goes on their merry way, and telling their children, you know, the same fairy tale they were told. And nobody believes it. Well, that's what they do with the Bible. They make up all these lies about it and tell you that's what it says. But it doesn't say anything like that. As a matter of fact, we know with Adam, when he arrived here, there was already a garden. God put him in the garden. Yahweh God, not Elohim, but Yahweh, put him in a garden that was already there. And what was in the garden? It says there were trees and all kinds of stuff in that garden. And as a matter of fact, one of his duties was to name the animals. Well, what kind of animals? All of them. But all this is symbolic, and the Bible defines its own symbolism. It's like when Jesus came, said he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He tells you what the symbol of sheep represents, the house of Israel. The Bible defines its own symbology. And if you don't use the Bible definition of symbology, then you're spinning fairy tales.
Well, those different animals that were listed there were right before that and right after that. It talks about that there was no mate for Adam. And basically what Yahweh was doing was giving him a lesson in race mixing there. He's saying, that's not spirit woman. That race over there, that's not spirit woman. She's not a suitable counterpart for you. And then finally, he clones Eve from Adam, and she's bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and spirit woman.
Well, one of the duties that Adam had, and of course this goes over the top of everybody's head, was to name everything. Well, when you get married, you put your name on your spouse, on your wife, if you're a man. That's naming it. Well, he didn't find anything that he thought was suitable, and he was telling God, I need a helpmate. You know, that was the first abdication of the authority that God gave us. Because we're saying, hey, God, we need a helper. Well, we don't need no helper. You don't have to have a helper. You and God are the majority. You don't need a helper to do what he told you to come do. But he kept whining around, so God made him a helpmate and took her from him. That way, that was identical. He didn't have to look any further. This was bone of my bone. This was flesh of my flesh. And she'll be called woman because she was taken from the man. So in this garden, there were trees. We had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And, you know, we know what that's symbolic. There's no such tree in existence. There was a tree of life, and that was symbolic. We know who the tree of life is. It's Christ. It's this perfection that we're going to, this journey that we're making into the brotherhood, into becoming the true sons of God. And when I mean true, I'm not talking about racially. We are the sons of God. I'm talking about grown up men that are endued with the mind of God.
The placing of the sons, which the King James translates as the adoption of sons, but it's the placing
right.
of sons.
Right,
over there
right.
in Ezekiel 31,
up.
It talks about the Assyrian being a cedar in Lebanon, which is, and it goes on to say that it was in the garden of God, and also talks about the Egyptians being trees
yeah.
in the garden.
Yeah, and it don't just say Garden of God. It goes on and says in Eden. You know, people that are just want to quibble and say, oh, it just said the Garden of God. It said the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, it does mean that.
And the thing of it is, when you start understanding what's really going on here, that this is not the beginning of all creation. It didn't begin 6,000 years ago. It began millenniums ago. What began 6,000 years ago was the introduction of the Adam. The Adam men. Paul makes reference to this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He talks about the first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man's the Lord of heaven. From heaven. He's not talking about the first two-legged creatures that roamed planet Earth, and Jesus was the second two-legged creature that roamed the planet Earth. The first man, the first stage of Adam was corruptible. The first stage of Adam was carnal. The first stage of Adam was fleshy. The last stage of Adam was Christ himself, God incarnate in flesh, demonstrating the finish of this course, the finish
of
this journey.
The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, if the sons of God weren't separate from the rest of the creation, that statement couldn't be made.
Right,
I see we
right,
got a caller
right.
on line two. I don't know his name yet.
Romans, the 8th chapter, talks about the wonderfulness that there is. Therefore now no condemnation to them, Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the law of sin and death that Paul talked about in the 6th and 7th chapter before chapter 8, and how that warfare goes on. And that we go through that warfare.
Excuse me. Annette on line 2. Let's take her call. Hello. Welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, thank you. If I may offer a comment about the Bible when it says in the beginning, etc. I checked that out when I found out that the word the would require in Hebrew a specific article. And so I changed my Bible to say in a beginning, and that's confirming with what Mr. Tucker has been saying. In a beginning, not in the beginning.
As a matter of fact, the Hebrew, the actual Hebrew there gives you an indication that it says the bara, the first fruits, were cut down. It's almost like somebody goes out and prunes their trees. And that's where Genesis 1 begins. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah even uses the same words that Genesis 1 opens with. And in that, he talks about that the earth became without form and void. And the places, the nations, and all that were destroyed. So the Genesis 1 is actually a recreation. As a matter of fact, we have another creation over in Revelation. So we're going to go through 3, evidently. And there may be more. I don't proclaim to know everything about God's plan. But I know that what's going on today is right on the money.
I was about to comment and add to what you were saying at Genesis, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. In the Hebrew, it was my understanding that it said it became a ruin. So for something to become ruin.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You for calling, Annette. We appreciate that. We invite you to call again. Anybody who would like to call the program tonight can dial toll-free 877-924-7722. That's 877-924-7722. Go ahead, buddy. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, if she would want to make her a little note there on Genesis 1, just make her a little note of Jeremiah 4:23, because the terminology of Jeremiah 4:23 picks up right there with Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And Jeremiah 4:23 uses identically the same terminology. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and that man is the Adam. Okay, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. See, it was fruitful. And that's why it goes on to tell these two-legged creatures, replenish the earth. Okay? It's all coming around again. But this time, we were in charge. This time, we were at the helm. And so God said, okay, boys, y'all did something. Now, go live in it. Exercise your dominion and authority over it.
We have another caller on line 2. We have Alan from Michigan. Welcome to the program, Alan.
Okay, I just a question. Why hasn't Pastor Wickstrom been on for about the last 5 months?
Pastor Wickstrom's had some health problems, and he had to cut way back by order of the doctor. He has a internet broadcast, which he cut back from several days a week, I don't remember how many, to one day a week. He cut our broadcast. He cut a whole lot of activity. And he told me he's feeling a lot better now. So you might keep him in your prayers. But perhaps I've invited him as a guest sometime in the future, but it won't be a regular activity anymore because by doctor's orders, he's had to cut back, as I said.
What does he have, a heart problem?
I think that and high blood pressure, and there were some other problems, just a lot of stress, lack of sleep, and he is feeling a lot better, he told me.
Yeah, I was just wondering because it was only once a month. I didn't think that once a month would be so much for him, just one day a month.
Well, he's cut back in a lot of areas, so had it cut back here, among other things.
All right, just checking to find out. Okay,
all right.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you. We have another call ringing on line 3. I'd like to welcome you to the program tonight.
Yeah, I had to switch headsets from listening online to calling, so I'm not sure where you're at in the conversation. But I'd have to say, as from what I've heard so far, I agree with everything you guys have been saying. Okay, that I definitely believe that the Genesis chapter 1 is talking about a recreation of the earth from a great catastrophe which had to have occurred previously. And everything in archaeology and geology suggests that around the year 10,500 BC, there was a great catastrophe, and the earth was nearly destroyed by that catastrophe and has since recovered from that catastrophe, and you know, so I've referred to that as the recreation, okay, and also in Genesis chapter 1, we're talking, I believe, about in verses 27 and 28. I don't have my Bible in front of me, the creation of the Adamic race, and then in Genesis chapter 2, we have Adam being the individual, the Adam, being placed in the garden, which, as Pastor Buddy said, was already formed before Adam was placed into it, right? And I agree. We've had all these myths talked about and conveyed to us about the Bible. And I look at it this way. The natural world was created by Yahweh, and the Bible was written by Yahweh through his prophets. So the two have to agree, okay? They can't be different. And we have the evolutionists preaching one theory, and we have the Judeo-Christians preaching another theory. and neither one of them is correct, okay? But I believe your discussion is way more correct than either of those two.
that Judeo-Christian's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
well, jam two opposites together, but they do. Judeo-Christian.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the only people that ever called Jesus were a Jew were the ones calling him a devil.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, they pretend to be Israelites just so they can defame us.
Right, right. John A.
Give us a bad reputation.
is very clear about when Jesus is speaking to those Jews that believed on him. He said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know
yes.
the truth, and the truth will set you free. And right then, they began to argue.
That's right.
And say, hey, we've never been in bondage to any man. Well, that was true. They're not Israelites. If they
right.
were, they'd been
yeah.
in bondage down in Egypt for 430 years.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well,
he goes on to tell them, why don't you receive my word? Because you are of your father, the devil.
That's right. Right.
And the lust of your father you will do.
Uh-huh.
He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and so are you as his offspring. And that's why he goes on to say in Matthew 23 that they're guilty of all the blood shed upon the earth, from
uh-huh.
the blood of Abel all the way down.
Yeah, so he had to be talking about their race, because those particular Pharisees that he was addressing at that time could not have been guilty of the murder of Cain. So he's talking about their entire ancestry.
Which is Satan.
Yes.
And Cain, we know
right.
that Cain was the child of Satan, not
right.
Adam.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, for all these quote, New Testament Christians out there, it is in the New Testament that it says that Cain was of that wicked one.
That's right.
And how do we know he was? Because he bore the fruit of the wicked one and shed blood.
Right, right. Yeah, let me just say one more thing. It's a great. I just want to say that Jesus also said to these Pharisees that had you believed Moses, you would believe me. Okay,
right,
which
right.
is proof that he understood that their religion, which we call Judaism today, is a lie as well. They're not the Israelites of the Bible, and their religion has never been that of Moses. They made their religion up, and it's called Talmudism. Okay.
Yeah.
Judeo-Christianity
is an oxymoron.
Yes, it is.
And people
Absolutely.
That use it, well, you take blind people. If they were never around anybody else that could see, all they were around was other blind people.
Yeah.
They would not know they were blind.
That's right.
But they would be in great confusion because they keep running into obstacles.
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, Jesus, when the disciples came to him and were talking about these people, Jesus said, leave them alone. The blind
right.
lead the blind that go to the ditch.
Yeah. And even Paul says we should not be part of their company. We should. You know, we should have nothing to do with these Edomites. They're
well,
not of us,
I mean,
we should leave
they're
alone.
They're leading the blind sheep down into the ditch.
That's right.
And
I'm
That's
not one
worried
of the reasons
the
that so many
sheep.
People have
God
departed
wants
from
to
Christianity.
Flip their switch and turn them on, he will. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples.
Yeah,
do what I've told you to do, and don't be worrying about all this other stuff.
Right. Right.
And that's what's going on today.
They have distorted the Bible with their false terminology and turned us Christians into blind people. We're
right.
not following Christ. We're following the Jews who have redefined the words like Jew and Gentile and various other terms, and including a lot of the Old Testament terms. I'm glad you're actually discussing the Hebrew meanings of words. Which the Judeo-Christians never do. Absolutely never.
Jesus.
I'd like to thank Eli for calling.
Yes.
We have three other callers online waiting and not too much time left. So,
okay. All right, thank you much.
We do appreciate your call. Call again another program. Next is line two, JB from New York.
Yeah,
Welcome
I had
to
a
the
question
program.
About, yes, thanks for taking my call. I just had a question. If in fact, this whole grand scheme of Elohim and our identity thereof, what is the role of baptism in regards to that? And that's my question.
Okay. Mike, I didn't understand everything he said.
I think there's a little interference there. He was questioning the role of baptism in the whole scheme of things.
Okay, the role of baptism? When Jesus came, there was a forerunner to him. And that forerunner was his mother's cousin Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. And John was out preaching repentance. That's what the message is today. When Jesus ascended, he told his disciples to preach repentance. And the sign of repentance is baptism. And baptism is a sign of new life, of death and resurrection, right there in one symbolic ordinance that he's given us. And it's a sign of repentance. And that's what I don't see. I don't see repentance. And it was only when Israel found themselves down in Egypt that they began to cry out to God. And our people today, they haven't realized they're in abject slavery. And they're not crying out to God. They're crying out to these political candidates that are nothing more than glorified, that'll do anything for money. They'll do anything to keep their cushy jobs and Bill Clinton and all of them can talk about giving to the poor and turn around and spend $3.2 million on his daughter's wedding. And Obama, how concerned is he about anybody? He's got a half brother living on $15 a month. They could care less. It's the biggest scam. They're nothing but whores and prostitutes, and that's all there is. And our people, have they cried out? No. And they're not about to cry out until they got nothing left.
Which, of course, is repentance in order to make
them cry. And that's what repentance is. And we're going to start a new life, and we're going to show people that we're different. And that baptism by water, and baptism by fire, baptism by the Holy Ghost, baptism, it has a role, but the role is for those that have come through repentance. And, you know, if there's 7,000 in America today that have repented, it would shock me. And maybe I'm a little like Elijah when he was hiding out in a cave and he said, well, there ain't nobody out there that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. And God said, well I've reserved 7,000. Well, out of
millions. Hopefully some of our callers are some of those that have been reserved. We do have a caller on line one, Jim from West Virginia. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Oh, thank you. It's been good. This really bugged me. Why on earth have all the translators of the Bible into English refused to translate the Old Testament names? They only transliterate them, and I'll just listen off air. It sounds like a scam to me. I'll listen offline, rather.
Well, when you get a group of people to form a committee, what comes out of it? That's what the translators were. The king says, okay, let's organize a committee. And so they take one Hebrew word or one Greek word, and they translate it five different ways. And people get hung up, and they say, hell and death are different. And the grave is different. And this is different. And that's different. And all they're doing is showing their ignorance. They may be showing their stupidity. There's a difference. Ignorance, you can learn, and you can proceed from ignorance into knowledge. Stupidity means you can't learn, and you'll always be stupid.
We have Annette again on line four. Welcome back, Annette.
Yes, gentlemen. I don't know if you're interested, but I sort of had a revelation about how to reconcile the controversy about the spelling and pronunciation of the holy name. And the key was Joshua's name. In the transliteration, it's spelled J-E-H-O-S-H-U-A. And that J-E-H-O was one syllable, Joshua. Yah. And so when I saw that people were pronouncing the God of Israel as Jehovah in three syllables, I realized that I believe it should be pronounced in two syllables, J-E-H-O, Yah, and Wah, U-A-H. Now, at the time the King James was written, the U sound was written as a V, and even it was even written and that way even until the beginning of the 20th century on public buildings. If you may have seen them, you'd see the word public written as P-V-B-L-I-C. And so putting those different things together, I believe that the King James, they did have an understanding of how it should be pronounced, but they pronounced it differently in that century than we've tried to do it today. And I believe it should be Yahweh. And the same thing with Joshua. J-E-H-O-S-H, Yahshua, U-A, if that sounds reasonable to you.
Did you have a comment, buddy?
Who's going to feel that? Well, yeah, I've... The holy name of God, you know, we know what the Hebrew is, and they didn't use vowels in their written stuff. We also know that about 300 years before Christ, the Hebrew manuscripts were taken into Greek, and that was what we call the Septuagint. And I'm kind of glad they did that, from the standpoint that you can see a lot of, words in our Greek New Testament that, are the same thing in the Hebrew and in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, which was taken from the Hebrew itself. And, because of that, everybody's wanting to stick vowels in. Our English language loves vowels. There's a lot of other languages that love consonants. I think some of those Czechoslovakian, Hungarian, and some of those names, they love consonants. So really what we're at the mercy at is a language. And language should never be a barrier, and that was demonstrated at Pentecost when the disciples and the others, now I'm just not talking about the 11, but all of them began to speak in tongues, and all the people from other countries understood in their own language. And, I'm just so thankful that God has inspired men and women and enlightened them to get back in and dig it out and to find out really what was And the Hebrew and the Greek words that were used. And you don't have to be an academic to do that. You just need a King James Version of the Bible and a Strong or a Young's Concordance.
I'd like to make a related comment. In our circles, there's a number of people today speaking against using the sacred name. And one of the arguments they use is that the Tetragrammaton originated with the Masoretic text. Well, I know that the Masoretic text is a newer text and it has some error because of the Jewish influence, but the Tetragrammaton was way back in Paleo Hebrew, and you can find at a number of historic sites the YHVH, as it was translated, as Annette said.
Right, and, right.
But it does go much beyond the Masoretic text. And certainly our Redeemer never heard himself called Jesus in his lifetime. That's a Greek word.
Right, right, right. Jesus, I mean, that's a translation as well. As a matter of fact, what was the early Christians even used the symbol of a fish. They, you know, there's been holy symbols used for holy names and holy entities. And the most holy of all for us is our big brother, Jesus Christ. Because without him finishing the work, we wouldn't have a chance.
We're down to less than 3 minutes, buddy. Would you like to give us some finishing comments, kind of wrap this up tonight?
Well... You know, it's, how do you talk about the whole Bible? Well, I want to go back to Romans 8. Romans 8 is, there's no condemnation now to us that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And, you know, Paul says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the image of it. To the glory that shall be revealed in us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. Them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Why? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And this hellacious world that's going on today is running smack dab according to God's plan. He's in control. He's our Father. He loves us, and he will give us all things.
Yeah, the victory's ours. He's
ours. That's right.
I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight. We only have a few seconds left. I'd invite the people to listen to the closing announcement, give some contact information, and hopefully we can get Pastor Tucker on again. So thank you for being here tonight, and thank you for listening.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.